From the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, this is Veterans Radio. And now, here's your host, Dale Throneberry.
Good morning, America, and welcome to Veterans Radio. We've got a great program for you. My name is Dale Throneberry, and I will be your host today. And joining me in the control room is my air boss, Bob Gould. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Dale. And I want to say a special good morning to, we have some very special listeners out on the west side, the western states out there in the good old U.S. of A.
Off we go into the wild blue yonder.
Enough of the Air Force for there.
Well, I think we've been a little neglect there with the Air Force.
We
but
did.
I hope that kind of makes up for it. And welcome to all those listeners out there in the western states. And Nellis Air Force Base, Edwards. Am I missing any?
Probably, but I don't know any of the bases.
There's a ton of them out there.
Out in California in that area. This was kind of an inadvertent Air Force salute because our guest in our first segment of the program is also an Air Force veteran. So timing is everything.
That's right, in this business.
That's true. Let me tell you a little bit about what's going on the program today. First of all, we're going to be talking with a local personality, Faye Wisely. I'll be bringing her on the air in just a second to talk about her Pride and Honor flight. She's one of these people out there that are just incredibly wonderful to veterans. She's responsible for taking, I don't know how many hundreds of World War II veterans to Washington at no cost to them. We're going to talk to her. We're going to be talking to Rick Briggs, who's the Veterans Program Manager for the Brain Injury Association of Michigan. And we're going to be talking about probably the most common injury to the veterans coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, and that's the TBI, the traumatic brain injury, where your head gets rattled around inside your helmet due to these IEDs going off. And then in the second half of the program, we're going to be talking with a representative from Project Salute, which is being put on by the University of Detroit Mercy Law School. And they're going around the country in their RV that GM provided. Thank you, GM, for that. And they are taking care of all they're answering any question that veterans have about their disability benefits. If they've had problems getting their disability benefits, they are helping them by putting on seminars around the country. And we're going to be talking with Professor Jun Sung about that in the second half of the program. But right now, coming right on the air today, right now, is Faye Wisely. Faye, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure to talk to you. For our listeners out there, you are running the Pride and Honor flights here in Michigan. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. We are.
Can you tell us a little bit about what they are?
Well, we raise funds and do fundraisers to take World War II veterans to Washington, D.C. on a trip. We fly them out in the morning and back at night. It's a one-day trip. It's a very, very long day for them, but they don't seem to mind it at all. We go see four different memorials while we're there. We start with the World War II memorial, which they earned 62 years ago, and most of them would never, ever be able to see it if it was not for these trips.
Mm-hmm.
Most won't go by themselves. They don't want to, but when you put them in a group, they really, really come alive when they get out there, and they start talking about things they've never talked about in their whole life, their families. Some of their families are able to accompany them. They have to pay to go along. The family does. We can't afford to take them, but we don't take any money from the World War II veterans. They already paid a long time ago.
That's true. I understand you don't even take donations from them.
No, we do not. No, we do not. And we've had some veterans who financially are very secure and can give us, but we still can't do that. They fought alongside of everybody else. So we don't take any money from these people.
Well,
it's a very small thank you to these people for my life and my family's life. We're all here because of them.
That's very true. You're part of a national organization also, aren't you?
Yes. It's called Honor Flight, and it's out of Ohio, and that's Earl Morse started that group up there. He started it with a couple friends who had a pilot's license and 10 veterans who wanted to go, and he said, well, let's go. And now it has grown. When I started this last year, there was only 8 groups across the United States. There's now 30.
I think that's amazing, and I wanted to point out to our listeners that you don't have to live in Michigan to do this. You can go to the honorflight.org website, and there is a list of all the different state organizations that will be more than happy, I'm sure, to help you out. How many people have you taken to Washington so far, Faye?
Last year we took 250
and
veterans.
What's your goal this year?
Oh, we're over 500 already. We've got 6 months booked. We've got 6 months booked and 2 months paid for. So we're reaching right now pretty hard.
I know, and there are a couple of fundraisers coming up. I can talk about one in the local area, in the Ann Arbor, Michigan area. You're doing a bottle drive today.
Yes, we are.
And is that at all the Bushes or just the one in Dexter?
No, it's just the one in Dexter right now. In fact, as soon as this call is over with, I'm in the car and on my way up there.
Okay, so everybody in Washtenaw County or within 50 miles of Dexter, we want you to pile all the bottles into your car and take them down there to the Bushes on Ann Arbor-Dexter Road, depending which direction you're going, and drop them off there because they need that. And I also saw that you have a fundraiser, a golf outing coming up in May.
Yes, we do. May 9th out to Redmond Farms. That's a very important fundraiser. If we can fill that golf thing up, we can raise some significant money for a couple trips. And so we're banking real hard on that golf outing.
And that's May 9th at Redmond Farms. Where would they find information about that?
They can go to the website. If you go to Google and just type in Pride and Honor Flight, it'll bring the website right up. And everything that we're doing is right on there. It tells you who we are and what we're doing and why we're doing it.
Well, we know why you're doing it. And you were recently honored as the Ann Arbor Citizen of the Year, you and your husband, for the Pride and Honor Flights. And I also noticed that you were nominated for a similar award with the Medal of Honor Society.
Yes, we got the I received the Michigan Above and Beyond Citizen Award for National Congressional Medal of Honor, and that's the Michigan Award.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very, very, very honored.
Well, we are very, very honored to have you living amongst us and doing this job for our World War II veterans. And one of our partners did go on one of the flights with you, Ken Rogge, and he can't stop talking about the Pride and Honor flight that he went on to Washington last year. And hopefully one or all of us can make one of those flights in the next couple of months, I'm hoping.
We certainly will have you on there. One of the things that I'd like to mention is, because you just mentioned Ken talking about it, is that's one of the things that it gives the veterans. When they get home, they still talk about it. They still feel it and enjoy it. And that's such a special thing for people of that age.
Oh, I think so. And Ken told us that when you arrived in Baltimore, that when you came into the terminal, everybody started clapping and cheering for the World War II veterans, and most of them were in wheelchairs or with their canes.
There had to be 100 people standing there. Southwest Airlines has been fabulous to us. I email them ahead of time. I say, here we come, and we're coming here, and please do something special for these people. And they come all out. There was not a dry eye, Dale. Not a veteran with a dry eye. It was so fabulous.
I think that's great, and we want to congratulate you and your husband for the work that you're doing with your Pride and Honor flights, and we thank you so very much for being on Veterans Radio this morning.
Thanks for inviting us.
All right, we'll be talking to you again soon.
Okay, gather up those cans and come on up.
I'll be out there later on today.
Okay.
Thank you, Faye.
Mm-hmm, bye-bye.
Faye Wisely of the Pride and Honor flights, if you have a question or you have a relative who's a World War II veteran or you'd like to just help out, go to Pride and Honor. .org, and you could be able to make your own donation to their organization. I think it's a very, very worthwhile program. Bob, time for Welcome Home.
Thanks, Dale. Before we do Welcome Home today, I think we need to have a special, special announcement to make about a very special group. We've been doing the Welcome Home here at Veterans Radio for the past 4 years, but this group in Bangor, Maine, Troop Greeters, have been in existence since 2003. That's the beginning of the war in Iraq, 2003. They're greeters. They assemble at the Bangor International Airport. They welcome home soldiers both from Iraq and Afghanistan. They give commemorative corn, snacks. They loan cell phones so that the troops can call their loved ones, call home. And the reason for all this is due to its location. Bangor, Maine is often the first stop back in America for the troops after they serve overseas. They've had 3,000 troop planes Isn't that amazing? That's just fantastic.
And they do that, and they come out in the middle of the night.
In the middle of the night.
Right.
And welcome them home. Welcome home. Each week on Veterans Radio, we welcome home servicemen and women who, in the service of our country, have been stationed around the world. Dateline, North Dakota. North Dakota soldiers have spent the last year of their lives making life better for the Iraqis. So said KXMB-TV of Bismarck, North Dakota. That's as 40 soldiers from the North Dakota National Guard's 34th Engineer Brigade arrived at Bismarck International Airport. Dateline, New Jersey. 44 U.S. Marine reservists rode their bus into Middleton, New Jersey to shouts of, "Oh God, it's good to be home," as the 6th Motor Transport Battalion returned after serving 7 months in Iraq. Dateline, Arkansas. 60 soldiers with the Arkansas Army National Guard's 142nd Fire Brigade at Fayetteville are ending a year-long mission in Iraq. The Guard is planning a welcome home ceremony at Fort Sill in Lawton, Oklahoma, where the Fayetteville unit will be several days to process out before returning to Arkansas. Welcome Home on Veterans Radio is sponsored each week by the Marine Scholars Program of Ave Maria University. For more information regarding the Marine Scholars Program, visit them online at avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. That's 239-280-2552. Welcome home.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University by combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill. The benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
And we're back on Veterans Radio, and right now we're going to be talking with Rick Briggs, who is the Veterans Program Manager of the Michigan Brain Injury Association of Michigan. And Rick, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
It's nice to be back.
It's great to have you back. Tell us a little bit about, we're going to be talking about TBI, which is kind of the, I don't know what you want to call it, the main injury, it seems like, that these men and women are coming back with.
It is the signature wound of the war terror, and it's earned its name, unfortunately, from all the IED improvised explosive devices that are being used. It's the tactic of choice. Of course, everybody knows that the insurgents are not doing well when they go head-to-head with us, so they have to develop tactics to achieve their objectives, and we're being very successful in countermanding that right now.
Okay, could you kind of talk about the symptoms or the problems that result from a TBI?
Absolutely. Well, TBI is a traumatic brain injury. First of all, I'll put it on a scale so everybody can understand from the civilian perspective, and then we'll translate that to the military. And that is, if you took HIV/AIDS, breast cancer, spinal cord injury, and multiple sclerosis, and combined them, and multiplied that total number by 6, that's the Center of Disease Control's numbers for traumatic brain injury every year. For example, in the state of Michigan, we'll have 45,000 to 48,000 reported TBIs. Now, that's not counting two categories. One, it's not counting a returning veterans, and it's not counting shaken babies. So it is a huge national epidemic. And in the last few years, with the Bob Woodruff story from his incident, the news anchor over in Iraq, his injury and the cranioplasty he had and the traumatic brain injury and his subsequent recovery and rehabilitation has been, that's our Christopher Reeves, what he did for spinal cord injury.
Right. And this is not, this is an accident. I was just thinking as you were talking, we have a friend who was in a car accident and ended up being hospitalized with that same thing for months. Well, I guess we could talk about basically what are some of the symptoms that might be exhibited.
Well, there's a lot of things that go along with the brain injury, and first of all, I'll comment on three categories and talk about automotive crashes. Of course, they account for a huge portion of brain injuries in our society. You've got three demographic groups. You got the kids, 1 to 5. They're walking around learning their balance and running, and they're hitting their head on every coffee table they can find. And then you have, of course, the 15 to 21 year old males, very high risk, a lot of auto accidents, motorcycle, skateboard, all that. High-risk activity. And then the elderly, which is a lot of our World War II vets and so on that are getting into the slips and falls and stuff, especially in the northern climates where we get into the winter. But one of the difficulties with traumatic brain injury is a lot of the symptoms, and nearly 80% of them, are identical to post-traumatic stress disorder. Now, PTSD is a psychological reaction to a stressor-induced activity. I like to say it's a normal response to an abnormal situation.
Right.
But a brain injury is actually a physical assault to the brain where an injury has occurred because of this force, this traumatic impact. In the case of IEDs, it's a ballistic shockwave that actually traverses through the body. It's not even the fireball and the shrapnel and the other stuff because you can get injured from that as well. But it is the ballistic shockwave that's it's causing a great number of these TBIs.
We're talking with Rick Riggs, who's a Veterans Program Manager for the Brain Injury Association of Michigan. If you have any questions or comments that you'd like to make, give us a call here on Veterans Radio at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. And the state of Michigan, Rick, is doing a lot, it seems like, to help our veterans that have come back with these problems. Could you talk a little bit about those programs?
Yeah, the state of Michigan is the gorilla in the china shop. We really are on the national stage. We have something here for those listeners outside the state of Michigan. We have something called no-fault auto insurance, which has, over the last 20 years, really helped us evolve our traumatic brain injury rehabilitation services in the state. If you get a brain injury from an auto accident, which accounts for the majority of them in the civilian sector, you're going to be cared for in the state of Michigan. Outside of that, outside of the state, then you're on your own. Now, there's 20 states that have either zero or only one TBI, CARF-accredited treatment facilities. Some states, like Missouri, have 2. California has 5. Mm-hmm. Well, the state of Michigan has 55, and that's not all the facilities. That's just the CARF-accredited ones, the higher-level facilities. So we really have evolved nationally into the standard for the nation when it comes to TBI healthcare. So much so that they've actually created a veterans program. We had our first anniversary last week, in fact, and before that it was an unfunded program, but with the demands of the war, they created it, and they actually brought me on over from the Operation Helmet. I ran that program for the Michigan affiliate for a year, and there was a direct tie there, and I do want to put a shout out to Doc Meters and the wonderful folks down in Operation Helmet, because he helped tens of thousands of American troops before the government started procuring these ballistic lining upgrade kits to help reduce the ballistic impact. Because with these liners in these helmets, it reduces the shockwave by up to 60%. And so we're seeing a lot of injuries. So from previous wars where you'd have three or four injuries for every killed in action in the OIF, OEF, Iraqi and Enduring Freedom conflicts. We're seeing a 16-1. So the good news is they're surviving. The bad news is the other side of that sword is we've got to care for these troops when they come home.
Right. Yeah, we do. Actually, we've got a call from Mike calling from West Bend, Wisconsin. Mike, you have a question for Rick or for us?
Well, I've got two of them, yes.
Okay.
This is a fascinating topic, and I on my VFW magazines that I get, this has been the cover story. It's been the cover story in the American Legion magazines I get. But I'm a Vietnam veteran, and I don't remember this topic ever coming up before the Iraq War. And I'm just wondering, as an infantry soldier, you know, we were caught in artillery barrages and the B-40 rockets and all that sort of thing. Is there any chance that this condition is, how can I say this, hiding post-traumatic stress, mimicking it, and people are misdiagnosing post-traumatic stress for this? And how is this a physical injury that they can go back and see by an X-ray or an MRI?
Those are all excellent questions, and you're exactly spot on. All the wars and conflicts that have had explosions, which, you know, that cover as far back as we can go. Yes, the bottom line is a lot of, they used to refer to it as shell shock. You know, if you had your bell rung, if you lost consciousness, if you encountered anything, it is a physical injury. It's a physical assault to the brain. And the strap webbing system in the old helmets, a lot of times your head would actually make physical contact with the inside lining of the helmet.
Right.
So it was good for the times. But you brought up actually two or three exceptional points there, and I do want to put a shout out to all our veterans that served in all the wars. These guys and gals returning have drawn a lot of attention to the traumatic brain injury thing. But first of all, like I said, 80% of the symptoms are the same between PTSD, which is a psychological reaction, versus a physical injury. Okay, and I want to differentiate those two to some extent. You could have memory problems, slowed thinking, what we call sequencing difficulties, where you have difficulties thinking two, three, four moves ahead, those types of things. Anxiety, depression, sleeplessness. I mean, when you start talking PTSD, you're sitting there saying, wow, that's me. Well, it could be either or. And it really does take a TBI-trained specialist to differentiate whether you have either or both. And unfortunately, many times the both are running hand in hand, you know, because obviously if you were in the environment that would cause the injury, you know, it could have also created some of the psychological issues that are going on. And as far as the timing, it wasn't a matter of our country not being aware or whatever, but if we all think back to Brady, Ronald Reagan's
Jim Brady, right,
when he was shot, that's really where the whole TBI brain injury thing started. And his rehabilitation process, he had some very severe injuries, and some of the things, the rehabilitations that are going on now, I want to put something out there, and I really want everybody to grab onto this, whether your child's playing sports or you have a youngster that falls or whatever, a car accident. There is enormous hope in recovery with brain injury if you get in with TBI specialists to rehabilitate. I met a gentleman, Derek, I'll just use his first name. He's a retired Army major and just a super guy. We just bonded right off, and he had a very, very severe injury, coma and all the rest of that, and he went through, had to learn to walk and balance and talk, speech, audiology, memory. And now if he was sitting here talking with us, he'd sound and look just like we do. And they do call it the invisible wound for a very good reason, because a person can look and sound normal on the short term. But for those spouses out there that may be listening, if you notice, you know, your husband or your wife is, you know, not the same, you know, they're anxious, they're angry, they're forgetting things, they're, you know, more than normal. Those are all issues to bring to bear.
Okay. Well, thank you, Frank.
Okay, can I ask you one more real quick one?
Sure.
You had just mentioned something that's curious to me. You mentioned shell shock, and I know that there were different terms for conditions from previous wars, condition shell shock, I forget what the other one was that they had going before that. But most people identify shell shock, at least from what I see, with post-traumatic stress today. But you're saying I guess I'm a little bit confused. Is shell shock the physical injury of TBI or shell shock post-traumatic stress?
Well, you know, back then I don't know that they had the capabilities to actually differentiate, you know, whether it was a physical injury. You know, you asked something and I failed to answer, and I apologize, on the MRIs and so on. They are in the process of developing some more sensitive examinations to tell whether or not you've had these injuries. MRIs don't always show, a TBI won't always show up, excuse me, on an MRI, but there are times when it will. And so, you know, without knowing the particulars on the case and getting it in, I'm not a medical authority, but I do know in all the discussions I've had with everybody, both on the troops, and in fact, my son screened positive on the initial screening, for both. So it's like until you get deeper into the neuropsych evaluations and so on, you won't really be able to say which one is this.
Right. We need to get to another question.
Have you guys got a website where we can keep up with what the great work you're doing?
Absolutely. In fact, you can go on, no matter where you are in the country, you can go on the BIA, and that's for Brain Injury Association, BIAA.org website, or you can tie into ours, and we have a lot of training on there for individuals that aren't sure and they want to educate themselves, and that's www.biami, and that's BIAMI.org. And that stands for Brain Injury Association Michigan.
Okay, great. Keep up the good work. Thank you very much.
Danny, thank you for your service.
Thank you very much. We got a quick call from Jim from Door, Michigan. Jim, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Hi.
Hi. We got a couple of minutes before Rick has to get out of here. So what is your question, sir?
Well, just a comment. I just got back, and they're getting a good deal better at, checking people out and making sure if they have been injured in that way to get screened properly. I think they're finally getting up on the learning curve, and that's a good thing.
Well, I'm glad that they've been able to help you, obviously, I'm hoping.
Oh, I didn't get bopped in the brain, thank God.
Well, we'd greatly appreciate, obviously, your service to the country, and I wanted to thank you very much for calling into Veterans Radio. We'll have to have you back again when we can talk longer.
Welcome home,
okay.
Too.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jim. Well, we've got about 2 minutes to go, Rick, and I know that you're off to another presentation this morning. What would you recommend to people if they do have questions? I mean, they can go to the website. Your organization also has some fundraisers coming up, and I want to make sure that we get those out. This is especially for the people that live in the Michigan area.
Yeah, first of all, I'm getting ready to do our 36th full presentation in the past 9 months, and this is for a pre-homecoming for one of our organizations, military unit from Iraq.
So you're doing these presentations to kind of warn the family of what may have occurred?
Right. In the pre-homecoming, we actually go out to brief the spouse as to what to watch for, because they are the best baseline reference for what normal is. The returning troop, this is not something you can self-diagnose.
Okay.
So it really does take a family friend, and that's why we're trying to educate the public, and I do appreciate that for all our listeners. Yeah, we have a huge event, and whether you're a civilian or a returning veteran or whatever, if you want to swing by on June 14th, Saturday morning, we're having an all-day event out at Kensington Metro Parks. It's Tips Up for the Troops. It's a troop appreciation event. We're looking for sponsors. We're looking for donors, and there's three missions here. One, it's a fundraiser for the Brain Injury Veteran Program to keep it online so we can keep doing the training and the advocacy work that needs to be done. The second thing, it's telling a great group of folks that thank you for your service and your sacrifice. And third is the therapeutic value that these guys and gals get from being out on the water fishing all day and coming back and having a barbecue, sitting around telling stories, you know, a lot of memories come up when they get with each other.
Right. Absolutely.
And it's a wonderful event. You can go to tipsup.com, tips-up.com, and we'll have all the information up there by the end of next week.
Okay. Well, I want to thank Rick Briggs very much. He's the Veterans Program Manager for the Brain Injury Association of Michigan, for being on Veterans Radio, and we'll be talking with you again.
Love it. Great work, great service you guys do. Appreciate it.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. First Lieutenant Lloyd Burke killed more than 100 North Korean soldiers in a one-man assault on their positions. Details after this.
College isn't cheap. In fact, it can be downright expensive. But the Air Force has a way for you to get that college education. If you attend classes while on active duty, we'll pay up to 100% of your tuition. And you could have more than $35,000 for school waiting for you through the GI Bill. For more information, call 1-800-423-USAF or log on to airforce.com. This message brought to you by the U.S. Air Force and this station.
Intense enemy fire had pinned down leading elements of his company, committed to secure commanding ground, when Burke left the command post to rally and urged the men to follow him toward three bunkers, impeding the advance. Dashing to an exposed vantage position, he threw several grenades at the bunkers. Then returning for an M1 rifle and adapter, he made a lone assault, wiping out the position and killing the crew. Closing on the center bunker, he lobbed grenades through the opening and with his pistol killed three of its occupants attempting to surround him. Ordering his men forward, he charged the third emplacement, catching several grenades in midair and hurling them back at the enemy. Inspired by his display of valor, his men stormed forward, overran the hostile position, but were again pinned down by increased fire. Securing a light machine gun and three boxes of ammunition, Burke dashed through the impact area to an open knoll, set up his gun, and poured a crippling fire into the ranks of the enemy, killing approximately 75. Although wounded, he ordered more ammunition, reloading and destroying two mortar emplacements and a machine gun position with his accurate fire. Cradling the weapon in his arms, he then led his men forward, killing some 25 more of the retreating enemy and securing the objective. Burke's heroic action and daring exploits inspired his small force of 35 troops.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Schrader Yacht Sales, the East Coast's finest dealer of Chris Craft, Island Packet Yachts, Packet Craft, Parker Fishing Boats, and Nautic Star Boats. Schrader Yachts is located at the top of Barnicot Bay in Point Pleasant, New Jersey. Our good friend Ray Schrader provides you, the customer, with over 30 years' experience in boat sales, sail and power boats, both new and used. Schrader Yacht Sales offers a full-service storage facility and a reliable crew responsible for all of your boating needs. Specialists in electronics, they can accommodate your needs for radar, autopilot, air conditioning, GPS, heat, and communications. Give Ray a call at 732-899-8010. That's 732-899-8010, or go to SchraderYachts.com. That's SchraderYachts.com. Oh, by the way, tell Ray you heard about him on Veterans Radio, and he will personally deliver your new boat from Schrader Yachts anywhere there's water. Schrader Yachts, ready to serve all of your boating needs. And we are back on Veterans Radio, and a couple of things I need to remind our audience of. That was Rick Briggs that we were talking to from the Brain Injury Association of Michigan. And if you would like to get more information about the programs that are out there, not only if you, for military personnel, but also for civilians that get their bells rung seriously, you can go to www.bimi.org. That's bimi.org. And there's a great deal of information out there that can help you out. Another thing I wanted to let our audience know, for those of you that are out there, one of our partners is in Vietnam on his return journey, and I just got an email from him this morning. He's in Saigon. He said that it has changed dramatically. He says, for those of you that that were there, you probably wouldn't recognize it. He said it's a bustling capitalistic society. He says the people are so friendly, and he is so grateful that he went. He said that last time he left Vietnam, he was exhausted mentally and physically. He says right now he's getting ready to leave. He's exhausted physically, but he says mentally he's never felt better in his life. So thank good luck to Gary on his trip home, and we'll be anxious to see you and talk about this trip that you made back to Vietnam. Coming up right now, we're going to be talking to another organization that's out there helping veterans just out of the goodness of their heart, which we think is just so terrific for everybody who's coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan and also World War II, Korea, and so forth. And this is the University of Detroit Mercy Law School program that is called Project Salute. And I'm going to let our guest tell us a little bit more about that. Joining me on the radio right now is Professor Jun Sung from the law school at University of Detroit Mercy. Welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, we just got an email about this program, and it's kind of I'm embarrassed to say that we weren't familiar with it until I'd gotten a notification a couple of weeks ago about this. Can you tell me about what Project Salute is?
Absolutely. We started our veterans clinic at University of Detroit Mercy School of Law in that we sought to expand our clinical programs and sought to serve the community. And the area where there was the greatest need was an assistance for veterans in their claims for disability benefits. And we started that program here in Michigan last September. But as we continued on with the program, we saw that the need was even greater throughout the country. So in conjunction with our mobile law office, which is a 30-foot RV, which has been retrofitted to allow us to actually conduct interviews in the mobile law office, we travel around the country assisting veterans with their claims for disability benefits.
Now, this is you are a professor at the law school, but you're taking along students with you to help as advocates for these veterans. Is that correct?
That's right. In each different location, the students, after they have training in veterans law and under the faculty supervision, they interview veterans regarding the veterans' individual situation, and we also present educational presentations, so that veterans know what programs may be out there and how to access those programs.
Well, I think this is a great program. We're talking with Professor Jun Sung from the University of Detroit Mercy Law School about their Project Salute program. If you have a question or comment, you can give us a call at 877-573-7825. How did you get involved in this?
I started as a clinical professor, and I have experience in administrative law, and veterans law was definitely somewhere there was a great need and something that I take great pleasure in being able to assist. You know, around the country, it's been just extremely rewarding to hear the stories and sacrifices that the veterans have made, and that we can do something to assist the veterans in their claims that they have presently pending or that they're able to file. Now, what we're doing as we go around the country, not only do we interview the veterans, but we assist in obtaining representation for them, whether it be through our clinic or individual private attorneys who have agreed to provide free pro bono representation. In each location we go to, we have a training for any attorney who do want to participate, which gives them the tools to effectively represent the veterans.
Could you tell me, I was looking through some of the information that's on the U of D website for your program, and I saw that you were down in Florida a couple of weeks ago only, it looks like. And you helped out a veteran who was, 72 years old and had never been able to get his claim taken care of?
That's right. You know, one surprising thing that I've learned and on this tour is that I anticipated mostly Vietnam era or recent veterans who would come to us for assistance, but we've been seeing quite a number of veterans who have served in World War II or in Korea, including one gentleman that we see who had incurred severe frostbite in Korea. Mm-hmm. And he had never applied for benefits in that he did not think that he was entitled. And he had many other friends who he believed had much more severe injuries and that he wasn't deserving. But now, as he has gotten up there in age, he's having more severe problems with the frostbite. He's having difficulty walking. And after seeing some of the articles about our program, he came out and we were able to interview him, and we're at this point trying to place his case with a pro bono attorney in the Jacksonville area.
I think, again, you guys are doing a wonderful job, and I'm reading one of the articles here that I got off of your website, which is through the U of D Mercy, and you just kind of type in Project Salute and takes you right there. This is from the Florida Times Union on March 19th, which is not too long ago, and it's talking about one of the, I'm not going to use his name, but he was a ophthalmologist. Is this the one you were referring to?
It wasn't, but
okay. This guy had a lot of problems. It says ROTC student in college, medical schools, active duty in the army, developed tuberculosis, loss of vision in his right eye because of some of the treatment he was taking due to steroids. His bone and cartilage started to disintegrate, so on and so forth. Anyway, it ended up that it looked like after you pointed out the plight of this veteran, that the VA was able to help him out almost right away.
That's right, and surprisingly, we're seeing many of those instances where we're interviewing the veterans and we're featuring the veterans, the press highlights their story, and the VA has been responsive to some of those stories quite quickly. There was a gentleman in Houston that we interviewed who was a Vietnam combat veteran. How he was an amputee as a result of diabetes. And of course, most veterans are aware that diabetes is a presumptive service-connected condition. But the VA had denied his claim initially. But after seeing his story with Project Salute, the VA actually contacted him by telephone and indicated that they were going to be paying on this award. So the fact that the VA actually contacted him by telephone, that is unusual in itself, but it was extremely rewarding to see that we were able to obtain his benefits.
I think it's great. It's you know, people complain about the VA, and I think probably we've all agreed here on Veterans Radio that the VA services that you get are excellent. Everything is great when you go up to the VA hospital. Everybody's nice. It's just that there aren't enough people to, you know, to schedule the appointments fast enough or get in to see you. And probably the same with their disability claims. And I was noticing in this article in Houston that it said the VA cut him a check for $96,000. Now, don't all you veterans go crazy out there and think you're going to get a check for $96,000 from the government. But I think that's a great story.
I agree. And The VA sometimes does a very good job in processing the claims, but in other claims, there are delays, and the veterans are having a difficult time in obtaining their benefits. So what we're trying to do by recruiting attorneys to be able to provide representation, we're hoping that the veteran has assistance to be able to prove their claim, whether it be their disability or the service connection, so that the veterans are approved initially after they file their claim. Right now, the approximate wait time for a newly filed claim is approximately a year. But if the cases are appealed to the next level, the veterans have to wait about 2.5-3 years for that appeals to take place. So their cases may eventually be remanded to the regional office, but we're hoping with the representation at the regional level by attorneys that their cases are approved so they don't have to wait. And I do have to say that not only are we trying to work with attorneys, but we work with those who are providing assistance right now through namely the service officers through the different organizations. And we also invite them to our training so that they have additional resources, additional knowledge to be able to do a better job, even a better job than they're doing now, in the representation of the veterans.
Well, we're talking with Professor June Sung of the Project Salute, University of Detroit Mercy Law School. I'm going to ask you to hold on for just a minute. We're going to be going to a break. We'll be right back in just a moment. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
And we're back on Veterans Radio. We're talking with Professor June Sung of the Project Salute, University of Detroit Mercy Law School program, which is going around the country helping veterans get the benefits that they deserve. Now, I noticed that most of your trip in the last couple of months has been to Florida, and I don't blame you, considering that we've set a record up here for snowfall this year. woke up yesterday with another 7 inches. You know, but, all right, it's not upstate New York, but for us, we're not used to this much snow. Tell me a little bit about what your plans are for the next couple of months. Where is your Project Salute going to be next?
Sure. Our next location, we just returned from Atlanta, and we're going to be going back down to Florida, down to the Miami-Fort Lauderdale area. But after that location, the mobile office is traveling north, and we're going to be in New York and the Midwest for the next couple of months. Most of the dates for the next couple of months yet haven't been set, but we plan to be in the East Coast and in the Midwest during the next few months.
Well, we're anxious for you to get back into the Midwest, because when you do, we want to do a remote program with you folks so we can draw more, even more attention to the program. It seems like in reading again the information is that you've been having unusually high turnouts. I think that's great.
We've been having incredibly high turnout in Jacksonville. The response was incredibly overwhelming. On the first day, our event was scheduled from 10 to 4, and at 10 o'clock, we had about 200, 220 people already waiting and lined up and waiting to speak to us. And it was nice in that we were able to have an educational presentation right then at 10 o'clock, get the information to those who simply just wanted to find out what programs and what benefits were out there available to veterans, but yet we were able to speak to individual veterans regarding their cases if they had particular questions as well. I do want to indicate that outside of our Project Salute, we are helping veterans here in the state of Michigan that's outside of the program, and we are going throughout the state in another mobile law office and interviewing veterans, assisting with their particular cases, and recruiting attorneys to be able to provide free representation for the claims for federal veterans benefits.
Well, let's just suppose that I was an attorney and I wanted to help you folks out. How would I get in touch with you?
Sure, absolutely. They can contact us at the Veterans Clinic, and the telephone number is 1-888-836-5294. And they can also visit our website at law.udmercy.edu, and it gives a description about our program, and they can contact us by links there. And we're happy to speak with veterans, and we need attorneys to assist with this program as well.
You mentioned that you also put on workshops for various VSOs or veteran service organizations to help them expedite, I guess, their ability to get through the system also.
Absolutely. In our trainings that we've had for attorneys, we've also had a portion of that training devoted to information that service officers would pertain to them specifically, and also ways that service officers and attorneys may be able to work together for the benefit of the veteran in the disability cases.
What do you find, and I just thought of this as I'm sitting here, and I know that normally the attorney doesn't get involved until later on in the process. I think usually we've had a couple of attorneys on that say that they don't get involved unless it's been rejected. But you're saying that if the attorney starts off involved, that maybe there's a little bit better chance of getting some action?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Traditionally, the attorneys have not been involved at the regional level. And one of the reasons for that is that the regulations are such that the attorneys were prohibited from charging a fee before the court level. But what we're trying to do is to prevent mistakes from being made at the initial level and to make sure that all of the evidence that can be submitted in order to support the claim for benefits are submitted at the regional level, and that the advocate, whether it be an attorney or a service officer, is able to compile that information and to also submit why the veteran is entitled to benefits, so that there does not need to be an appeal where the veteran needs to wait an additional 2-3 years.
Well, I think it's really important that the veterans out there that think that they're having issues now for something that happened 40 or 50 years ago, and they've said, well, you know, oh, well, I think it's important that they do file their claim. That's what the VA is there for. We were, in essence, promised this medical care if we signed up and went wherever they wanted us to go. So I think it's important that we do that. I want to remind people with the number to get a hold of this program is 888-836-5294. That's 888-836. I need new glasses. 836-5294. Or you can go to the website. That's www.law.udmercy.edu, and that will take you right to the Project Salute program. And Professor Sung, I want to thank you so very, very much for being on Veterans Radio.
Thanks for having me on.
And we'll look forward to talking to you again. And when you start doing your tours around the state of Michigan, we want to be out there with you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. I think that's great what these people are doing. We've had two amazing organizations on, the Brain Injury Association of Michigan with their special veterans program, looking out for veterans who are just coming back with some of these problems, and with the UD Mercy Law School. I think that's great. And we have a call on the line. I've got a call from Juan down in Cape Coral, Florida. And Juan, welcome to Veterans Radio.
I thank you, sir, again. I've always been listening to your program. I enjoy it. God bless you for what you're doing.
Well, thank you, Juan, and thank you for those words. The money will be in the mail.
Amen. Well, I'm going to send money for you guys, too, because so I found out earlier that there's a group somewhere in Bangor, Maine, you said, that regardless right. what time there's troops coming back, they are here in line and welcome them home. That's wonderful. Bring tears to my eyes, believe it or not. I'm a 64 years old man and still crying and enjoying what I heard. As a Vietnam veteran, we did not get those kind of welcome.
No, and we're going to make sure that this generation does get those welcome homes.
Oh, God forbid, yes, we need it, because this is a God-loving country, and we need to welcome those that serve the country. Bless them all. And I found out that Ave Maria Radio is we have Ave Maria University here in Naples, Florida. If you know that or not, and I would like to make a donation to those that welcome our troops back. I need to know who they are, how I'm going to send my money.
Okay, we will take care of that. My partner Bob is jumping up and down, says he'll give you a call, and we'll get that information to you.
And thank you, and God bless you all.
Thank you very much, Juan. We'll look forward to talking to you again.
Yes, sir.
Okay, have a great afternoon.
Sure, God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, Bob, it appears that people are listening.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. I know. He is very enthusiastic. This is, what, like the third time that Juan has called? And he's down there right at Ave Maria University right now.
Right.
I'm not sure what he does. Maybe he's a professor, right? Okay. All right. How about next week?
I don't know about that, but that it does bring up an issue here that we were talking about. Next week, we're going to be talking with one of our good friends, Elliot Storm. And Elliot Storm is the author of the book, These Scars Are Sacred. And it's a fictional version of his tour of Vietnam and what happened to him and his compatriots while they were there and when they got home, and some of the problems and issues that he ran into with dealing with, I don't want to say dealing with the VA, but dealing with the regular population and the acceptance that was going on at that time. Elliot's going to be out here, and this is something that I think is really important for you folks in the Michigan area. Elliot Storm will be in Ann Arbor the week of April 14th. He's going to be at Nicholas Bookstore on Tuesday night, I believe, the 15th. And he's also going to be giving a couple of presentations here in the local area, one at Washtenaw Community College on Monday afternoon at 1 o'clock, and he's going to be up at Schoolcraft College on Thursday afternoon, I believe. And we'll put some more of that information up on our website. He's looking to talk to some veterans organizations here in the local area. He would really like to do that. His book deals a lot with post-traumatic stress disorder, and it is for the family, which I thought was interesting when Rick was talking about that earlier. It's more for the spouses and the family to read his book to understand what their father, brother, son might have gone through, and I think it's really important. So if you would like to book Elliot while he's here to talk to your organization, whether it be a veterans organization or a medical practice that deals with post-traumatic stress disorder, just give us a call, and we will or send us an email, and we'll make sure that he contacts you, because I think I've listened to his lecture before. It's a great lecture, and he answers a lot of questions for you.
What is that number that they can call us?
Well, that would be me. So I'll have you give me a call. That's 734-646-8673. 734-646-8673. Or you can send me an email to dale@veteransradio.net. If you're on our website right now, click up on Contact Us and send us your questions, and we'll get them on the air. Or if you want to give out more information to the people that were on the program today, send me an email. I'll forward it to them. They'll get a hold of you, and we can take care of you. Not a question with that. And somebody's trying to call me on that number right now, but I can't answer because I'm on the air. So we'll get back to that next week. But make sure that you tune in. We'll be talking with Elliot Storm. These scars are sacred. If there's nothing else going on right now, we want to tell you thank you so very much for listening to Veterans Radio. We want to thank all of our sponsors, the Marine Scholars, Quantum Physical Therapy, Legal Help for Veterans, Lynn Petlek. I know tax season is going to come to an end soon, Lynn. Schrader Yachts, veteran-owned business in New Jersey. Sperry Van Ness, Lilly & Associates. Gary, come on home. We need you. And Pat the Handyman. Until next week, you are dismissed.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of our guests and are not necessarily those of Veterans Radio or this station.
Veterans Radio is a production of Veterans Radio, LLC.